Would you receive our praise this morning? Would you receive our adoration? Thank you that we can just enter into your presence and be with you. Thank you that we are your children and you embrace us. You answer every question. You supply every need. You go before us. You hem us in from the sides. Thank you that we can hear your voice, turn left and right. We are not lost. No, we are filled with hope. We have a purpose. We know that our King has already won the battle. We get to walk and live in that victory. As we turn to your word, we ask that you just stir our hearts. Come and speak to us. Lord, you know where we are. You know who we are. You know what we need. So Holy Spirit, would you just bring light and life to your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you to our team. The teenagers, you can slip out quickly. We'll give you a moment with the Year of Your Life team. So I made you a promise 3 weeks ago that every week we will say this to each other. So for those of you who are new, just follow our lead. Turn to a friend, turn to a neighbor, and then you say to him, I have all that I need. Find another friend, find another neighbor. Say it until you believe it. You see, Psalm 23 is probably it's not just the best-known psalm in the world, it's probably the best-known song in the world, because it is a song. It's a song that David wrote, that young boy sitting somewhere with his harp while he was tending his sheep. He wrote this song, and he made this incredible declaration, I have all that I need. Foundation for that, and we said we're going to say this every week as well, we have to look at that. The psalm starts with these words, the Lord, and it ends with these words, the Lord forever. Most of the time we spend our energy and we remember the things in the middle. The fact that He guides us through the valleys, that His rod and His staff is there, that our cup runs over. But if Jesus is not the beginning and the end of your life, I've got some bad news. Those things will just fall through. They will never stick in your life. And you can declare with all the gusto, all the energy, I have all that I need. Friend, you only have all that you need because Jesus is the beginning and the end of your life. And if He is the beginning and the end of your life, is if He's the author and the perfecter of your faith, then I have incredibly good news to you. Then all of these blessings that are contained in Psalm 23, He wants to give to us because He is a good shepherd who loves His sheep and loves His children, and He wants to guide them. So this morning, we're going to look at He's my peace. He is my peace. Last week, we looked at the fact that He is my rest. He brings me to a place of rest in His provision. He is my peace. So let's read the first part of Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and He leads me beside peaceful streams. These two are related, and there's a little bit of an overlap. So I've got to understand that He will lead me to a place of rest in the provision that He has for me, the green meadows. But the other part that a sheep needs and that all of us need is to drink, to have water. And a young lamb can drink up to 6 liters of water in the summer when it's hot. Depends on the vegetation, how much moisture is there in the food. And it can go up to 14 liters for an ewe that has a lamb. Now, if you think of that, that's a lot of water. Now you know that you're supposed to drink 6 to 8 glasses. This is a little bit more than that. Sheep are naturally, I want to say skittish. They're not really afraid of water, but they don't really like water. They're not great swimmers. They can swim. And you'll find some stories of sheep swimming and people training their sheep to swim, some of the farmers. But naturally, they don't really like water for two reasons. The first one is these ones don't have that much wool. But if the wool is fairly long, they're quite heavy. And if they were to fall into the water and get swept away, they will most probably drown because they're just too heavy. They're not great swimmers. Secondly, if you look at the structure of their nose, it is just a weird nose to have. And as they lower their bodies to drink that water, and if there's a sudden wave, the water will actually just flow right into their nose. They need still, calm water. But they need a lot of water. So these things are a challenge. And therefore, they need a shepherd to lead them and to guide them to these places of still water where they can receive the water that they need. But you know, Anna, you and I also drink quite a lot. Not physical water so much. Although, by the way, we should all drink a little bit more water. So if you want to be that your takeaway for today, that can be your takeaway. In our spirit, we drink the whole day. And there we don't just need the 6 or the 8 glasses. We need a lot. We need affirmation. We need encouragement. We need people to believe in us. There's a lot of drinking that takes place in our lives constantly. And actually, there's an incredible thirst within us as humans. That's why when God talks about how we should pursue righteousness, He says we should thirst for righteousness. The Psalms talk about the fact that as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And there's a little bit of insight into that. Because as these animals need a lot of water, so I need a lot of water, but the place that I should get it from is probably God, and not so much the things around me. So I want to start with a statement. You will never have peace until your thirst is quenched. You'll never have peace until your thirst is quenched. If you continue to seek affirmation and encouragement and love and comfort from the wrong places, that thirst will stay. And if that thirst is not satisfied, if it's not quenched, you will never ever experience peace. So, two thoughts. What are you drinking? Where are you drinking from? Found all sorts of nasty pictures for dirty water, and I thought this was the most palatable one for clean water and dirty water. Where do you get your thirst satisfied? Where do you try to get it satisfied? Because most of these things do not really satisfy. And we can name so many things. So, first point, we drink from the wrong source. And if we drink from the wrong source, our thirst will never be quenched. And if our thirst is never quenched, we will continue to seek out new ways to quench that thirst And you will never, ever live in the peace of God. So in John chapter 4, well-known passage, Jesus is talking to the woman, Samaria, at the well. There's so much in that. You're welcome to just go read it again. But Jesus says to her, anyone who drinks this water will become thirsty again. That's the normal earthly water. He says, but those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. So there's something that we can drink that can actually quench the thirst that is deep down within us. And if we drink that, the thirst is quenched. The running and the seeking and the pursuing of things to try and quench that is over. That sounds to me a lot like peace. If we drink of this, we will actually experience His peace. Jesus continues and He says, it will become a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. That's actually profound what Jesus is saying here. What He's saying is that if you drink of My water, if you drink of Me, something will happen within you so that there will actually be a spring within you. There will be a fountain of life within you. As we accept Jesus, as we make Him the Lord forever of our lives, as we invite Him to come in, He comes and He fills that vacuum. He fills that hunger or that thirst that we've always had. And if we allow Him to completely fill that, He will not only fill it, but it will become a stream of living water that flows from us. So she says, sir, that sounds great. Please give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. She sort of understands, but she doesn't really understand. And Jesus says to her, yes, you can have some of this water, but that's not the way He answers it. He says, go and get your husband. And if we read the rest of the story that we know well, she says, I don't have a husband. I've had five, and the man that I'm with now is not my husband. Speaks of someone who's thirsty, who continually tried to fill something in her life. And for her, it was relationships with men. We can name so many things, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm pretty sure that you know what your substitute is. I'm pretty sure you know where you run to try and fill this thirst in your life. If we read the rest of that story, Jesus transforms this lady's life. He begins to speak to her. He begins to unpack certain things. He cuts through her religious questions. He cuts through her racial and cultural issues. And He gets to the heart. As the story unfolds, remember how the story starts? It's the middle of the day. It's not the time to come draw water. Most probably the reason why she came at that time of day is because there was no one else at the well. Because she was the one that everyone gossiped about. Maybe this day she just wasn't in the mood for people asking her again about, how many husbands did you have again? But that day she finds Jesus. And her thirst gets quenched. And she begins to experience the peace of God. And as she goes back to the town, these are the people who have rejected her. They call her names. She goes to them and she says, I have found someone. What she was actually saying is, I found someone who quenched my thirst. Pretty sure as they looked at her, as they heard the words, they realized something was different. Something happened. And they all came to Jesus. Scripture literally says she brought the whole town to Jesus. It's incredible how Jesus, especially in the book of John, when he interacts with these individuals, he finds them probably in the places where we hang out too. He finds Nicodemus stuck in his religion, unable to break through to see the truth of Jesus. He finds Zacchaeus in his greed. He finds this woman in her brokenness. Not only does he bring her to Jesus, that fountain of life begins to bubble up within her, and she brings everyone to Jesus. So there's an interesting verse. Let me just read it first. And he took the calf they had made and burned it, and then he ground it into powder, threw it in the water, and he forced the people to drink it. Now, if you never read that verse or heard that preached in church, it's a pretty strange verse. This is when Moses is up on the mountain and the Israelites make this golden calf and they begin to worship this. Why do they do that? Because their thirst had not been quenched by God. And Moses just took too long. And they were uncertain, is this God really going to be with us? And they make an idol. And they begin to worship that. And as Moses comes down, he burns that calf down, grinds it down, throws it in the drinking water, and forces the people to drink it. Isn't it time you stop drinking from the dirty water? Isn't it time you stop drinking from that fountain that does not satisfy? So number one, we drink from the wrong sources. Number two, there's just too much. There is just too much. So those of you who grew up in my era, in the Afrikaans schools, we had, can you remember the Kennis Encyclopedia? Huh? I went up this morning and I just checked, it's an encyclopedia that was famous in my time. And if you had a school project, you could find all the answers in there. It's all you needed. 16 volumes and a sort of a register, 17 volumes. So I just tried to figure some things out. How long would it take you to read all the websites that they have something to say about the love of God? So maybe there's 10 million pages, maybe 500 of them in each document relates to the love of God. So if you were to read that, it would take you 40 years nonstop. In my day, the 16 volumes of the encyclopedia was enough. I made it. I passed grade 12. It was nog matriek to act of us. Standard 10. Made it. Now we have access to so much information. If you were just a normal person and you would not read 24/7 a day, but if you spend 8 hours a day reading, that would take you 120 years. That's a lifetime. I just quickly, as an illustration, just went to look at the development of TV entertainment. So, 1967, we started with one channel from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. That was TV. All the young people have left, so there's no, how can that be? In 1982, they added two more channels, SABC 2 and 3, or TV 2 and 3. 86, MNET started, pay TV, and there was a couple of channels that rolled out. ETV in 1998. So, for free, four channels. If you had money for MNET, maybe 6 or 8 channels. The moment DSTV has got 135 channels that run 24, most of them 24 hours a day. In other words, in one day, you could watch the equivalent of 135 days of TV. Netflix has enough content for you to watch nonstop for about 4 years. But that's not the interesting one. YouTube adds 518,000 hours of content per day. That's 60 years of content gets added every single day. Okay, now forget about the TV. You're not talking about the TV. Friend, there's just too much. It's impossible to drink if there's just too much. We've got to get to a place where we become quiet. We switch some things off. And we just get to the space of being quiet. We all know this verse so well. But here's the thing, knowing it and doing it is two completely different things. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In that psalm, it talks about the nations that are in chaos, the kingdoms that are crumbling. It talks about earthquakes and mountains shaking and moving. In the midst of that, we are encouraged to be quiet. You don't have to know everyone's opinion about everything. You can just switch some things off. You don't have to know what's happening in every part of the world. You can just switch some things off and find a place of quiet. You know the story of Elijah, where the God is not in the wind, he's not in the fire, he's not in the earthquake. Where is he? In the still, small voice. How did Jesus survive as a man here on earth? How did he make it? It says, and he often withdrew to a quiet place. Without his disciples, just him alone. We are encouraged that when we pray that we should close the door behind us and be alone with God. How much time of silence do you have in a day? We just have access to so much information and content. So we talked, my wife did it a couple of months ago, when we talked about the fact that maybe it's a good idea to get a printed Bible. Is it because a printed Bible is more holy? No, because then we have to probably go back to the scrolls and the tablets. The point is not what it's written on. There's nothing wrong with reading your Bible on your phone. You know what the problem is? The moment you pick up your phone, you remember that you have to answer that email. Or a WhatsApp comes in, or a news alert comes in. And you're not able to focus on God. So if you have the discipline, put the phone in airplane mode and just read the Bible on there. Nothing wrong with that. But can I give you a bit of piece of advice? For me, that's a huge struggle. And if I really want to read the Bible, the best way for me is to pick up the paper one. The moment it's the large print, so I can actually read the letters. And you know what the amazing thing is? There's no emails that pop up. There's no news alerts. There's nothing that stirs in my mind and quickly reminds me to just do this thing for work. But I can just be silent with the Word of God. We've got to find silence. Got to find silence. Otherwise, this thirst will never be quenched. Jesus knew how to drink from the Father. He was full. There's no thirst in him. So when people came and said, "You are amazing. You want to crown you as king?" You know what he said? No. And he stuck to his purpose. He stuck to the goal that God has for him or had for him. You see, Jesus is the source of our living water. It says on the last day, John 7, we read this, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." God is still shouting that today. Jesus is shouting that this morning into your life. You can come and you can drink. Isaiah 55, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend money on food that doesn't give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest foods. It's an incredible invitation to have our hunger and our thirst of the deepest part of our souls satisfied. He continues, "Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and I will give you all the unfailing love that I promised David." You see, the words, God loves you, it's not just a slogan. It's not just something that we say. But we can drink of his love. If we stop drinking from the wrong sources, if we get to a place of just being quiet, we can come and we can drink of his love. And he can quench this thirst in my heart. And then I will know his peace. I'll quickly just read one or two. You can read the rest on the notes that you got this morning. There's his promise for peace. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If your life is the Lord forever, then this promise is for you. If Jesus is the beginning and the end of your life, this promise is for you. He will keep you in perfect peace. There's a number of more scriptures I put in there. You're welcome to look at them in your notes. Proverbs 14 and verse 30 says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones." The contrast between these two. You see, that word peace in English is almost a passive word. It means the absence of something most of the time. The Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. Most of you should know that. It's got a much broader meaning. And as I read through them just very quickly, I want you to hear how God wants to bring his peace to every area of your life. Because I have all that I need. So it applies to my physical being. Shalom means a wholeness of life and a wholeness of body. So when he promises that he would lead me into his peace, that he will give me his peace, that he would lead me by still waters, he's talking about my body, my being as a man and a woman. It refers to a right relationship or a harmony in relationships. See, it's not just the absence of fighting, but it's the presence of something of harmony, something of beauty in relationships. Whether that be a marriage, or children, or work colleagues. You see, you can walk in peace in the midst of the chaos around you, because the Lord is your shepherd, and He will lead you by still waters. And every relationship that you have is covered by this peace. It has an implication or a reference to prosperity and success and fulfillment. You see, when God comes and He gives us peace, He just does not take away certain things. He adds. He brings who He is into the situation. And when I declare He is my peace, I declare that He can take care of my financial needs. We spoke about it last week. He can lead me to rest in His provision. And fourthly, and we'll get to this later in the psalm as well, it refers to victory over enemies or the absence of war. God is your peace. And He's standing up as He did 2,000 years ago, and He says, anyone is thirsty, you can come to me. You can come and drink. Why do you want to drink the dirty water? Why do you want to keep drinking the thing that does not satisfy? Why do you want to keep running around after more and more, bombarding yourself? Why didn't you take a conscious decision? Start with 15 minutes. Put it in your calendar. Make an appointment with yourself and say, for 15 minutes, I'm just going to be quiet. No TV, no internet, no phone, no computer. I nearly wanted to say no wife, but then I would have been in trouble. 5 minutes. Find a moment of peace and allow His love to satisfy the deepest of your thirsts. So that when you walk out of that space, you are full. You don't have to drink from the world. And when there's chaos all around, Psalm 46, if I remember the reference correctly, and the nations are in uproar, be still and know that He is God. If you're having a difficult day, a busy day, a full day, why don't you take 5 minutes between meetings and just say, quiet. And just step back into His presence. You see, His presence does not leave us. We leave His presence. Step back into that place of stillness and quietness. Allow Him to quench the thirst. You know what will happen? You will be like that Samaritan woman. People will look at you and they'll see that something is different. They'll recognize, how is this person able to, in the midst of this situation, walk in such peace? And just like the Samaritan woman, you will have an opportunity to say, but it is Jesus. He has filled and satisfied the deepest part of me. I am fulfilled. My thirst is quenched. I am experiencing His peace. He is the one leading me by still waters. I want to close your eyes for a moment. I want to ask you 2 questions this morning. Firstly, what are the things that you are running after? What are the things that you are drinking of that does not quench the thirst? I'm going to give you a moment. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm just going to give you a moment just to speak to God about that. Confess it. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to set you free. Father, would you pour out your love over us as we run to you with this deep thirst in our hearts. May you just show us in this moment that you are able to quench that thirst. Satisfy our hunger. And may we know your love. Second question is, which area of shalom, of His peace, just spoke to you this morning? Is it the wholeness of your body or your life? Is it harmony in relationships? Is it prosperity and fulfillment? Is it victory over enemies? Father, we thank you for your peace. Thank you that your peace and the peace that you give just enfolds everything of our life. Every aspect of our life. And this morning, Father, we just say we need your peace in this area. God, we invite you to pour out your peace. We invite you to lead us to streams of still water where we can find rest and peace for our souls. God, my prayer is that as we go from this moment and we step back into the busyness of this life, may we not leave your peace. Holy Spirit, would you remind us to take a step back, and that in each of these areas, in our physical body, in our relationships, in our finances, in the battles that we face in society and work, that you can bring your peace to all of that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.